Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're your host this morning, and we're in a fabulous study, aren't we, Dr. Reggie?
We are.
We're talking about the law of attraction, but more importantly, we're learning how to use the law of attraction. I want you to pull out your workbooks, okay? You guys yesterday should have written your goals down, some of the things that you're trying to manifest in your life, some of the things that you will manifest in your life, because we know that if we correct our thoughts, that we will manifest that which we desire. So I want you to pull your paper out. Remember, you can call in at 914-338-0590. Press 1 on the telephone keypad. We want to hear what you have accomplished or what you're stumbling with. We're here to help you. Because if I talk all through the class and don't hear from you, then I don't know where you're having difficulty. I need to hear where you're having some challenges so that we can shift. We can help you, quote, pivot.
Yes.
We want to help you pivot. This, you know, we're here to manifest heaven on earth. Are you guys with me on that? We want to manifest heaven on earth. That is our birthright. It is all about our joy, our happiness. And, you know, it comes in steps. It's, you know, we need to take the baby steps first and then so that we can trust. And, and that's how our faith grows, too, isn't it, Dr. Reggie?
It's very true. You know, it's really funny you say that because this morning, when we were taking our little journey this morning, early in the rain, I heard a radio broadcast on the radio here in Atlanta, and they were talking about the book of Philippians and how Paul was writing to them saying, what you have in mind, keep that ahead of you, and please leave your past behind to manifest your goals.
Yeah.
So that's an important step, too, in the law of attraction. Out of all the laws in the universe, that one is very critical, to leave the past behind, because when you re-evoke it, the emotions resurface, and that's not a good thing. It doesn't know the difference in your subconscious mind between what's then and what's now. That's because there's no such thing as distance or time.
Amen. There's no such thing as we create, as humans, we create time so that we can kind of control, so we think, our physical reality.
Yeah.
It's only because we're not willing to accept that we can have it now, that we can manifest it now. We think we have to struggle. We talked about that yesterday, didn't we? So, oh, I'm so excited. Listen, I want to acknowledge the people in the chat room. I don't know if anyone got in there yet. Hey, I see Renee in there. Welcome. So we've got people coming into the chat room. The chat room is not, just because you're sitting in the chat room does not mean you cannot participate. If you have a goal, something you are working towards, but you believe that you are having difficulty in manifesting that, write it out here. I bounce between the screens. I promise I will work with you. Again, the telephone number is 914-338-0590. What we do here in the morning to get started, Dr. Reggie does an opening prayer and blesses us.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful this morning for the rain in this area. We're grateful for the flowers, trees. I'm not so grateful for the pollen, but I'm grateful for everything in the universe because it has its place. And I'm grateful for the law of attraction because we have the power to attract to us that which we desire so deeply. And you are so open and willing and receptive to giving us what we need. even beyond what we need, there's excess. All we have to do is ask. And we thank you for the price consciousness. ASK is the acronym for ask, seek, and knock, and the door shall be open. And we thank you so much for that power that we have within us at birth until after birth and after life. We thank you. We believe this is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Wow. I love your prayers, Dr. Chris. Mm-hmm. I love your prayers. So we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We were talking about, let me just read the last paragraph. Again, I'm reading from Money and the Law of Attraction, which is Esther and Jerry Hicks presenting us with the teachings of Abraham, which is a non-physical entity, Abraham. So they say, but we want you to understand, this is Abraham speaking, and we want you to understand that if you continue to look at what is and to speak of what is, you will not find the improvement that you desire. You may see a parade of changing faces and places, but your life experience will essentially show no improvement. Mm. If you want to effect substantial change in your life experience, you have to offer substantially different vibrations, which means you must think thoughts that feel different as you think them. Oh, my goodness. So the key things that we're working on right now is the quality of our thoughts, right? I'm repeating the principles, and I do this because I don't know who's just joining us, all right? So you want to, the quality of our thoughts means that we want a high vibration, the highest vibration. What's the highest vibration, Dr. Reggie?
Your positive energy, positive thought.
Right, and we call that being in our joy. So we want that thought to be the highest thought, and we want to pay attention to our feelings. Our feelings equaling and meaning our emotions, that is our Geiger counter.
You know what's amazing to me? You said our high city, our joy. And I'm talking about happiness and joy. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is eternal.
Amen. It sure is. So let's move on to the next section today. Of course, you know, this is Jerry. Jerry is, Jerry Hicks. And he, Esther Hicks, channels the energy of Abraham. And so Jerry poses questions to Abraham, and then he answers. So here's Jerry's, I wouldn't say it's really a question, but it's just a reflection here. Something that he's asking about it. So he says, many years ago, I owned a motel near El Paso, Texas, and H.L. Hunt, who at the time was one of the wealthiest men in the United States, he was one of the multi-billionaires, okay? He called me, and he had purchased Ojo Caliente, which is a small resort on the Rio Grande that was financially failing. And he had heard that I might have some useful information to help him turn it around. So as we were visiting in my little coffee shop, I had a difficult time focusing on our conversation because I just couldn't understand why a man that wealthy would still be discontent and looking for a way of making more money. And I wondered why he didn't just sell the place at whatever price, and just go on about his life enjoying the money that he had already accumulated. I have another friend who's a multi-billionaire as well, and we were in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, walking on the beach, and he was talking about some business problems he was having. And it really struck me that that man, so wealthy, would have any kind of trouble. But what I've learned from you, Abraham, and I've learned a lot from you, is that our true success in life is not about how much money we have or about the having of things. Am I right?
Yes.
So what does Abraham say? the things that you have and the things that you do are all meant to enhance your state of being.
Hmm.
In other words, it's all about how you feel. And how you feel is all about coming into alignment with who you really are.
Wow.
Now, who are we? We are divine, right? We are the divine essence of God, right? We're moving into that reality, that truth. And so what does that mean? That's what we're studying. What does it mean to be the divine essence of God? What are the characteristics of being the divine essence of God? What are the tools available to us as the divine essence of God? That's what we're discovering.
Wow.
Okay, so when you tend to your alignment first, then the things you gather and the actions you perform only enhance that good feeling, that of your state of being. When you're moving in your joy, when you are manifesting your heart's desire, that just enhances the divine essence in you. Oh, my goodness, my little kid inside of me right now is jumping up and down. I can't sit still in my chair.
It's a hallelujah moment.
It is a hallelujah moment.
It really is.
But if you do not find the vibrational balance first and attempt to make yourself feel better by bringing more things into your experience or participating in more activities in order to try to make yourself feel better, you just get further out of balance.
And that's why people have all that money, and they're still not wondering, they're wondering why it was happening.
Right, because they sought the money first. What Abraham is saying is that you want to discover who you really are. They want you to discover your spiritual nature, your divine essence first.
That's right. The money is the icing on the cake.
Exactly. And here's the thing. I'm not telling you anything new. Jesus, many of you sat in church. Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of heaven first.
And all these things shall be added unto you.
Yes.
He always had a verity of truth.
Yes,
always.
So we are not guiding you away from accumulating things or even from taking action.
Right.
Because all of that is essential. Is an essential part of your physical experience. In other words, you intended the wonderful experience of exploring the details of your physical world in order to help you to personally determine your own, here's the key word here, your own joyous growth and expansion. But when you try to move forward from an imbalanced footing, meaning you're all about the money and nothing else. You don't know anything about your spirit, okay? That's imbalanced footing. It is always uncomfortable. How many of you are feeling discomfort right now? If you feel in discomfort, you're out of balance. You're not in alignment with that divine energy within you. So we want to gently, just very gently, move you back into balance. As Dr. Reggie says, we want to be in the flow.
It's true.
Oh, my goodness. So if you will begin by identifying how you want to feel. See, when we start out on our goal, we're trying to figure out what step should I take first. The first step is to see how do you feel. It's not taking an action in the world. It's taking an action in spirit.
Amen.
Woo.
Wow.
You want to identify how you want to feel or how you want to be.
Yes.
And then you want to let your inspiration accumulate. Your inspiration, if you want it to accumulate or to do come from that centered place. In other words, I'm sorry, I'm getting this, getting his punctuation, and I'm not delivering it the way he wrote it. In other words, he says, if you will begin by identifying how you want to feel or be and let your inspiration to accumulate or to do come from that centered place, then not only will you maintain your balance, but you will now enjoy the things that you gather
mm-hmm.
and the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Amazing.
They want you to get in touch with your divine energy first.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to seek the kingdom within first.
And they think it's hard to do that, but it's not. It can come easily with prayer or contemplation. Just thinking. Changing your thinking and projecting your thoughts to the inner workings of the Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Being grateful for where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking five things and saying, I'm grateful for this and then the other. When you're grateful, it increases more things in your area for those things for which you are grateful exponentially.
Yeah.
And they grow. And money comes out of nowhere. And you're grateful for every good thing.
Well, we're going to take baby steps this morning.
Yes.
But gratefulness is definitely number one because we are focusing on our thought process, right, Dr. Reggie?
Yes, we
and
are.
And the quality of our thoughts. Because a lot of times we say, oh, I want a lot of money. But deep, and we may not say it out of our mouth, but the track, you know, that track is running in our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is going to happen. I'll never get out of this. All those little fearful thoughts, doubtful thoughts, it depletes the power of your desire. Okay. So most people do most of their wanting from a place of lack.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break that down. They want things in many cases simply because they do not have them. So the having of them does not really satisfy anything deep within them because there is always something else that they do not have. Dr. Reggie says, you know what, there will never be enough money because you're going to always want something. and that's not true. There's always plenty of money.
There is around in abundance.
Right.
In
so that's one thing that you can't say that anymore.
Yes, I can.
Why?
Because when people say, it's never enough, it's never enough, it's never enough. They got one on the job, for example. Got a job, I made $80,000. Then they gave me a raise. Now I'm making $100,000. They're making more and more and more. And to them, that's not enough. They got the access to that money and this overall expenses and something else that I want. I want to buy it. But, oh, my God, I'm exceeding my budget. So it's never enough. And now I want more, and I want more, and I want more. So it's a repeated track.
It really
head.
Is. But
in terms of flowing in the universe, there's always enough money.
Always enough. But here's the thing. When you get caught in that trap, that means you're out of balance.
Yes.
Because now, because 9 times out of 10, that person has taken a job for the money only, rather than how they actually seek going after their dream, maybe, or their desire. And so it's never enough because you're trying to fill the void where they're trying to fill the void of being in close identification with the divine self.
Yes.
You know, we were designed to be in alignment with our divine essence, with God. And when we are out of balance, there is a void, and we try to fill it up with things and money and job titles and all kinds of activities. But we can't fill it up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. And so it becomes a never-ending struggle to try to bring one more thing that still will not be satisfying into their experience because I don't have this, I want it. I don't have this, and I want it. I don't have this, and I want it. And they really think that getting it will fill the void, but that defies law. And here's what I'm going to repeat this twice. Any action that is taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive, and it always leads to more of a feeling of lack. I'm going to say it again. Any action that is taken from a place of lack is always counterproductive, and it always leads to more of a feeling of lack.
Wow. That's a powerful element, because I was reading somewhere online in some article, either Huffington Post or somewhere else I'm not interested in, but I was reading it, and it got my attention that those people that worked for Bill Gates in the beginning, who worked with him and believed in him, they're all millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Because he made sure that everybody had that money and became millionaires. Half those people are broke.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Because it came from a feeling of lack. They got excited about the money, and they had their eyes on the money, but didn't invest and do things wisely enough to keep that money in tow and respect the energy of money. So they lost the interest because of their energy of lack, and the two energies don't mix. So now they're broke.
Yeah, that's how it works. That's exactly how it works. You know, and here's the bottom line, that the underlying thing about lack is fear. The underlying emotion
is
fear. And people fear that they're not going to have enough.
Yeah, no matter how much they get.
No matter how much they get, it will not make a difference. Thank you so much for bringing that to life. So let me try to figure out where I was. I'm flipping pages. I get so excited here.
I know it is.
With this. Yes, and I don't know where I was, Dr. Reggie. Okay. Anyway, so the void that these people are feeling cannot be filled with things or satisfied with action because the feeling is void. The feeling is about the vibrational discord between their desires and their chronic habits of thought. How many of you analyzed your thoughts? You know, that was the assignment yesterday. We were supposed to write down some of the things that we were trying to manifest and that's not quite working out. And then we were going to analyze our feelings and our thoughts around that particular goal.
Mm.
Did anybody do that yesterday? It's a great exercise. Trust
press
me.
One.
And you will be surprised. If you did, press one on your telephone keypad and you can share with us. So we'll go ahead and continue the lesson. So offering better feeling thoughts, telling a different story, looking for positive aspects, hear that word again, pivoting to the subject of what you really do want and looking for a positive what if. That is how you fill the void. And when you do, a most interesting thing will occur in your experience. The things that you have wanted will begin to flood into your experience. They didn't say it was going to, you know how they talk about our economy? They said, it'll trickle down. When you move into the alignment and fill that void, there's not going to be a little trickle. Abraham says it will flood you. Now, whose economy do you want to be attached to? The one that's trickling down, a little drip, 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 or the one that's flooding you?
The flooding. I love
that
one.
Hey, I want
you
the
know
flood.
What? And even the Christ principle, even when Jesus as a man said, you know, these things will come unto you because they'll be pressed down, shaken together, that you will not have room to contain it. So your mind has to be open, like your crown chakra is open all the time for feeding and hearing the word of God being downloaded into your entire soul. And when you resonate with that, this other stuff doesn't even matter anymore.
It doesn't matter. It's funny. The more in alignment that I move into my divine essence, the less the things even matter.
Yes.
What has become such a treasure for me is my relationship with that divine energy, with that which we call source, with that which we call God. The things don't even matter. I know some of you said, huh, I don't know about you, but I still want my Mercedes. Okay, baby, it's all right. I do too. But I don't know. There's just something about that connection that just awakens you and makes you realize that there's so much more to life than all of these things.
And there's nothing wrong with those things.
No.
As long as, here's the premise. You can have anything that you want on earth that you desire, and God will give it to you as long as you don't worship those things. That becomes an idol,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the good thing. It loses its power and significance. That car didn't give you birth into the world in terms of your eternality. And so only God can do that. And when you have that power, there's nothing like it. Your purse that you paid $400 for, those shoes you paid $500 for, didn't give you birth into the consciousness of the Christ. God did.
Mm-hmm.
So appreciate those things. You appreciate those nice shoes and a nice purse and a nice clothes. However, it's appreciation, not worship.
Yeah. Yes. Listen to what Abraham says. I love how he ends this, or they end this. The things you have wanted will begin to flood into your experience. But these things you have been wanting will flood in, not to fill your void, because the void no longer exists.
Yes.
They flow in because your void no longer exists.
Wow.
Woo! It's like, oh, if you dig a hole, okay, let's try to, you dig a hole. And so the dirt is up on the side of the hole. And then, but down in there, it's empty where you dug out. That's the void. That's the void. Now you're filling that void with your divine essence, you know, your connection. So let's just say in this example, we're putting the dirt back in. And now there's no need for anything else to come in there because we've already filled it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I making sense?
Yes, you are, because there's no such thing as doubt or fear now because you already filled it.
Yes.
And you're always going to be in that flow, always. And once you're connected to that, you can't be disconnected because
mm-hmm.
you're realizing your own truth in the reality of who you really are. Because you know who God is in you, nothing can stop it. I don't care, not even death. You're so connected to God, you know you'll be protected.
Mm. So certainly you will gather many magnificent things into your experience.
Yes.
And here's how they end this section. Our message is not for you to stop wanting, having, or doing. They don't want you to stop wanting these things or desiring these things. Really, that you can't stop.
Yes.
You cannot stop because you were created to desire.
Yes.
You were created to create. Okay? Our message is for you to want and accumulate and do from your place of feeling good.
Yes.
And really what they're saying is we want you to be connected to your divine essence. Because when you're in that place, you feel good. Trust
Amen.
Me. You feel good. And no matter what happens to you in this experience that we call life,
mm-hmm.
when you are connected, you can see the benefit of what you're going through.
Exactly.
Even if it's uncomfortable, you can say, you know what, I am so grateful for this experience because you will see it so clearly, so clearly. Trust me, I wouldn't tell you a lot.
Oh.
So neither money nor poverty makes joy. So Gary is like, okay, let's go into this discussion a little deeper. Let me check the
chat room.
Make sure. Okay, any questions in the chat room, go ahead and type them up. I'll come back to you. All righty. So Gary's asking Abraham. He says there's a saying that money doesn't make for happiness. On the other hand, I've noticed that poverty doesn't make for happiness either. But still, it's obvious that money isn't the path to happiness. So if the idea of achieving something does bring us happiness, does that mean that the achievement is an appropriate goal for us to set? And here's another thing. How does a person maintain his or her feeling of happiness when reaching one's goal is taking a lot of time and a lot of energy? It often seems that there is a sort of uphill climb to reach the goal and then a short plateau of rest, but then an almost immediate tedious climb to achieve the next goal. So how does a person keep all of the climbing toward their goal joyous? So there's not that struggle, and then, wow, I made it, yay! But then struggle. Oh, here, I made it again. And then, you know, struggle. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Yes. So here's Abraham's response. Oh, yeah, you are right. Money is not the path to happiness. And as you have observed, poverty certainly is not the path to happiness either. So we all know that. It is so important to remember that when you offer any action for the purpose of achieving happiness, you are truly going about it in a backward way. Instead, you want to use your ability to focus your thoughts and your words toward things that cause you to feel better and better. And once you have deliberately achieved a state of happiness, not only will wonderful actions be inspired, but wonderful results must follow. Oh, my God, how many times does he have to tell us, find your joy? Find your joy. And I don't know if you guys are really getting when I say to you that your joy is your highest vibration, and it is the signal that you are plugged into the God channel. It is your signal that you are plugged into the God channel. How many of you are going to hang up the phone this morning, and as soon as you get a call from a bill collector, go, because you're not connected into the God channel. The minute something else comes up to remind you, to pull you out of this joyous experience you're having here on Circles of Prosperity, in the awareness of how of your birthright, how empowered you are, the minute the phone rings, or you open up your mail, or some drama comes up, all of this goes out the window. You got to hold on to this. What makes me feel good?
Well, we know the bills don't make you feel good, but what you can do about those bills is look at them and equate them to their opposite.
Uh-huh.
Equate the bills with a check.
Uh-huh.
And say, you know what? This is a bill because I've used up the services of the phone. I've used up the services of the light. I've used up the services of the gas and the rent and everything else, so I can't expect him to just give this to me unless by some divine intervention. But at the same time, my joy comes from knowing that these bills will be paid on time and in time,
mm-hmm,
under the power of the Holy Spirit, in which I believe.
Okay.
And they always are.
So here's what happens. Most people give the majority of their attention to whatever is happening in their experience right now,
mm-hmm,
which means if the result pleases them, then they feel good. But if the results do not please them, then they feel bad. But that is really going about life the hard way. If you only have the ability to see what is, then things cannot improve. If you only have the ability to see what is, then things cannot improve. You must find a way to look optimistically forward in order to achieve any improvements in your experience. Mm-hmm. So when you learn how to deliberately focus your thoughts toward good-feeling things, it is not difficult to find happiness and maintain it even before your goal has been accomplished. The feeling of struggle you were describing happens because of the continual comparison of where you are right now in relationship to the goals you are reaching for. How many of you do that? Hey, I know there's a girl on the line right now. I love her dearly. I've been with her now for a year or so, and I remember a period. She's not in that space now. My God, she's grown. But I remember a time when she would say, I'm looking at these people that I started out with, and they've got, you know, private airplanes, and they're, you know, they're doing all this success, and I was there, and then I went down another path, and I just don't know if I'm going to make it. And she's doing fabulous now. Why? Because she pivoted in her thoughts. She stopped comparing herself. All, as long as she was looking at everybody else who was being successful, and she had chosen to move in from to connect to spirit first and then move from that inner knowledge in terms of what she was doing. So it looked like it was being delayed. But now her success is flooding in. Hopefully she'll share it with us one day. But it's coming in a flood. But she was feeling bad as long as she was looking around her, mm-hmm. what everybody else was doing. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. That's their path. You need to focus on you. Okay. So when you constantly are taking score and noticing the distance that still needs to be traveled, then you amplify the distance.
Yes.
You're making it a greater distance.
Mm-hmm.
You're focusing on, oh, look how far I got to go, look what else I got to do, blah, 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 blah. And then what happens? You get overwhelmed. Because you're looking at all the things that you have to do, all the tasks and all the effort. And that is why it feels like such an uphill struggle.
Yes.
So when you care about how you feel and you choose thoughts on the basis of how they feel, you then develop patterns of thought that are more forward-thinking. And as the law of attraction then responds to those better-feeling thoughts, you get more pleasing results. Struggle, struggle, struggle. It never leads to a happy ending. It defies the law. When I get there, I'll be happy. It's not a productive mindset. Because unless you are happy, you cannot get there. So when you decide to be happy first, then you will get there. You know, Bashar says we do everything backwards. We think, oh yeah, when I get the money I'll be happy. He says that's backwards. I'll be happy when I'll get the money. Write that one down. I'll be happy first, then the money will come.
Because it has a positive energy to flow too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Are you guys loving it this morning as much as we are? I don't know if we can get to this next section. I think I'm going to save it for Monday. He asked the question of, well, now he's making a declaration. I am here as a joyful creator.
Wow.
I am here as a joyful creator.
Amen.
Here's what Abraham has to say to you. I'm going to read straight through. If you want to have a question or comment, 914-338-0590, press 1. On the telephone keypad. Abraham's word message to you this morning is, you are here not as accumulators or regurgitators.
Mm.
You are here as creators. You're not here to just gather stuff. And you're not here to repeat somebody else's success. You are here to create.
Wow.
When you are looking toward an ending place, you exaggerate the feeling of lack between where you are now and that ending place. And that habit of thought can not only slow the progress of your creation, but can hold it apart from you indefinitely. You are the attractor of your experience. As you look for positive aspects and make an effort to find good feeling thoughts, you will hold yourself in a place of positive attraction, and what you want will come faster. The sculptor of a work of art does not derive his greatest satisfaction from the finished piece. It is the process of creation, the sculpting of the piece, that gives him pleasure. That is the way we would like you to view your physical experience of creating. It's continual. joyful becoming. So as you focus your attention upon things that feel good and achieve a consistently joyful state of being, you will then be in the position of attracting more of whatever it is that you want. And sometimes people complain that it seems unfair that they have to become happy before things that bring more happiness can then come to them. They believe that when they are unhappy, they need the happy events to come. But when you are already happy, then the happy events are not even necessary. But that would defy the law of attraction. You have to find a way of feeling the essence of what you desire before the details of that desire can come to you. In other words, you have to begin to feel more prosperous before more prosperity can come. You have to feel more prosperous before more prosperity can come. Other people tell us that they want more money, and when we ask them what their balance of thoughts is about money, they proclaim that they have a very positive attitude about money. But as we probe a bit deeper, asking them how they feel when they sit to pay their bills, they often then realize that while they may have been attempting to sound positive about the subject, they have actually been feeling a great deal of worry or even fear around the subject of money. So in other words, often even without realizing it, the majority of their thoughts about money have been on the not enough side of the subject rather than on the abundant side of the subject. And so this morning, I'm going to leave you with this question. What side of the money thoughts are you? Where are you in your thoughts about money? Are you on the not enough side, or are you on the abundant side? Okay, we're going to take one call. We have 2 minutes left to the show. Good morning. Anthony, how are you this morning?
Fine, thank you. I'm going to be really quick. I just wanted to thought on some people's mind, mainly women, and I'm not saying it because I'm picking on women, but keep in mind that we're in a market where it seems to be more women available than it is men, and women looking for good men. Well, my mom used to always say, a good woman can make a man or break him. And years, I wondered what she was talking about. Well, keep this in mind. Women looking for happiness, and they think that happiness is in the guy who has the Lamborghini, the fine clothes, and all that. And they think that by having somebody like that, that's going to make them happy, which that makes us think the opposite of what you said we should think. Well, keep in mind that if she got the right guy who will keep her happy, then all the other stuff that she wants, they both can have together. Because there's something about a special energy that God gives when two couples are on one accord. And I just want to leave that thought with folks. Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing. That's so true. I know a lot of women, especially when I was younger, they were looking for the guy with the nice car and dressed really nice and thought that was just going to be the best relationship. Not so, huh, Dr. Reggie?
No, because that's just temporal.
It is. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing, Anthony. We're going to go into our closing prayer this morning. Oh, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Tomorrow we will have Susan Sloan on for Oracle Friday. Tweet your friends. Let them know we're doing our thing tomorrow, okay?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson, and thank you for the accompanying blessings that come with this lesson. Let us learn to shift, pivot, and construct and project that which we are at the core level of our being, and that is the soul. You gave us everything to do this with, especially our minds. We live inside of your mind, which we are very grateful.
Amen.
So nothing shall be impossible. Believe. We believe, we receive. When we doubt, we cast out. So thank you, God, for letting us not cast out, but to receive with open arms and a thinking that's possible.